Well, no pressure on Cheryl, but that's a perfect song for the day. Perfect song. And I don't know if you notice it. I notice it, obviously, because I'm preaching. I know the messages I bring, but every time it has to do with what I'm going to speak about. So no pressure for next week, Cheryl. No pressure at all. If you have a Bible, Isaiah 61 and Ephesians 1. Isaiah 61 and Ephesians chapter 1. And we will read something in Isaiah and then go right to Ephesians chapter 1. It's good to praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy of all honor and glory and blessing, all that. And we're going to be singing in heaven. Praise the Lord. I don't understand everything that is going to take place there. I just know it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. We have a great God, Almighty God, and He's merciful, He's kind, God is love. You could go on and on and on and just appreciating all that God is and that He's done for us. In verse 1 of Isaiah 61, actually in Luke chapter 4, Jesus quotes these verses because they are fulfillment of His coming. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. What a blessing. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And then we'll go to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There's a song that was written, we're already over on the other side, and we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Boy, there's a lot in that. I just thought I'd throw that out. We're not going to preach on that, but we could. It'd be a blessing. Amen. But let's ask God to bless His word today. Father, encourage every heart. May You put a spirit of joy in us, a joy of salvation, a joy of wonder, a joy of an amazement. And God, we pray that You would be glorified. I pray that Your goodness to us would be magnified today in all that's said and done. And we'll ask You to bless this message now in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of verses, just to lay a little groundwork here. Certainly, Christians ought to praise the Lord. I mean, we have a lot to praise God for. Amen. Even if this is wrong or that's wrong, when you look at the eternal things, it's such a blessing. But Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. That's what the Bible says. Philippians 1:21, by the way, it also says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And that's Christ in us. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. Paul said that. Colossians 3:4, Christ who is our life. Now, just in those three verses, Christ liveth in me, to live is Christ, Christ who is our life. You see the focus of the Scripture and the focus of the Father for the Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, them which are in Christ Jesus. It's a little doctrinal study here before we get into the message. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Christ in you, and then you have you in Christ. I mean, it's so fulfilling. It is so real spiritually. It's such a blessing. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's abundant life. It's eternal life. And it's something that God has done for us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But also, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we're new creations because God is in us. The Bible teaches that. When you think about the Lord, he did always those things that pleased the Father. He was sinless. He was perfect. He had the Spirit of God without measure. He tells us in the Bible to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And we have a battle going on. We have carnality and we have spirituality. And that's a battle that's going on. But we have been born again and Christ dwells within us. Well, we're also able to produce the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, temperance, goodness. A scout is faithful and just. Anyway, you didn't get that, did you? Okay. But anyway, there's a lot of good there. Amen. And God says that that is possible for us to produce. You know, with a tree, the tree is only as good, the fruit is only as good as the root of the tree. Bear root downward, bear fruit upward. And so the Bible talks about that. And so as is the root, so is the fruit. Those are two verses that are in the Scripture. So if something is in the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh, right? And so we have all of these evidences of Christ in you, of you in Christ, a living association with Almighty God. It's just amazing. It's really amazing when you think about it. In Romans 5:20, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That's a blessing. Amen. When you think about that, you can pick any verse and you can just say, boy, I want to think about that for a while. And how does that apply to me? And it's always a blessing when it does. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good, perfect, acceptable will of God. But we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you read in Philippians chapter 2 what that was. And when we do that, it's a blessing. It's a benefit to us, and it honors Almighty God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the Bible talks about casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So here we are, we're thinking. And what are you thinking about? Well, I'm thinking about chicken dinner after the service. And well, that could be a pretty happy thing, but I want to bring you back to something spiritual, amen? Well, boy, I got a busy week ahead of me, and boy, these are my trials, and this is really serious, and this. But today, amen, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We are in the presence of God where two or three are gathered together. There am I in the midst. I mean, you could go on and on and on. And so the Lord, through his word, through his Spirit, wants to encourage us. He wants to help us to think about him, because that's a blessing to us. And it honors him because it glorifies Almighty God. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's not the point. But there is a mercy seat. Remember last week or the week before I talked about that. And God said in the book of Exodus, I will meet you there. That was the mercy seat. And we have in the New Testament about the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain help in time of need. So here's grace and here's mercy. We don't get what we deserve. We get more than what we deserve. It's just a wonderful thing. Amen. And that's the grace of God in our life. And so we think about that. Amen. No matter what's happening in our life. Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. But I want to draw your attention to, with all of that groundwork here, to a text in Isaiah 61. It says about the garments of praise. Why is it called a garment? And God says, I will give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Casting all your care upon him, he careth for you, and so he's going to do something for you. Amen? He takes our sin and he gives us his righteousness, a robe of righteousness. And so God says, you give me that, what did I call it, the spirit of heaviness, and I'll give you a garment of praise. And that's what I want to talk about today. I think this will be really interesting. Amen? And if you don't enjoy it, I do. And I'm the pastor, so I can talk about whatever I want to talk about. Amen? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And the verse goes on and says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Lay aside the weights, they'll keep you from running the race. And I read somebody said, many are weighed down with cares, worries, pressures, anxieties, fears, etc., etc., and they all affect our walk with God. We're to walk in love. We're to walk circumspectly. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walks. So we follow Christ. We're followers of Christ. Amen? And we have a mind for that because that's the mind of Christ. And all of these things are a blessing, but they can be discouraged. They can be choked. And there can be spots on our vessels. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 19, the Lord is talking about the seed and the sower, and he talks about the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. God wants us filled with the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, temperance. All of those things, he wants us filled. We lose our song when there's the things of the world that choke the word, because we have to have our mind on the word. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So you can get up in the morning and start thinking about God, amen, and the blessings of God in your life and how wonderful he is and how worthy he is, or you can get your mind going a real different direction. Amen? Amen. Well, maybe you've never experienced that. I don't know. I've experienced it. And there's a battle for the mind. I think Tim LaHaye wrote a book entitled The Battle for the Mind. And boy, that is really, really true. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. You can misuse that. I'm talking about thinking about God and praising God. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Psalm, well, let me say this. It's Satan's work to question God, not praise him. You find that in Genesis, the earliest time you see that. To doubt him, not to trust him, to scorn or complain and not to sing. We are to sing. Amen? We're to sing. I drove separately because my wife picked Karen up for church today. And when that happens, I can sing. And sometimes when I come to church and I start my sermon, you say, well, his voice is gone again. That's because I'm singing. Amen? And you just sing. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many will see it. Many will see it. The rest of the verse says, and shall trust in the Lord. That's the garment of praise. It's that song. It's coming out. That will be through all eternity. Amen? I think we'll be happy in heaven. In his presence is fullness of joy. And that's why we sing. Amen? If you're singing, you know, working in a coal mine or working in a car wash, that's a different song. Don't turn the country western station on, you know, because your car will break down. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Yeah, something bad's going to happen. But sing praise to God. Get in the Psalms and sing. In Psalm 40 and verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. I read that. And that's on the garment of praise. Here's my point. 1 Peter 5:5, be clothed with humility. How are we clothed with humility? It's not just the act. It's the heart. If we're humble in spirit, that's the clothing that people see. Amen? clothed with humility. Here's one about the Lord. Psalm 93:1. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed in majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. He is Almighty God. When we see our Lord in the scriptures, we see wonder and amazement. We see glory. We see grace, because that's the cloak. He is love, and so he wears that. Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off all these things. And kind of keep this in mind, of this garment of praise. Put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. If I could illustrate that, years and years ago, before I went to pastor in Sturgis, so this was 79, early 80, and I was traveling with an evangelist friend of mine, and he was preaching in Flint, Michigan. And he was going to preach that night, and so we went in, and he took off his coat, and he had an ink pen, a white shirt on, but he had an ink pen, an old-timey ink pen, and it had broken. And so he's got this big blue spot here. And he got up, and he said, I want to draw everybody's attention to this, so we get it out of the way. Amen. I know it's here, you know. But think how distracting that is. But there's a really nice shirt, but this big blue spot affects how nice that shirt is. Amen? Put off the things. We ought to have a garment of praise. Not of fear, not of complaining, not of discord. We ought to have love, joy, peace. That's our garment. Amen? That's what people see in believers. It goes on in verse 12 of the same chapter. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Other scriptures, put on charity, all of those things. That's a garment of praise. It is praising our God, and it is helping people. Amen? It's just such a blessing. You have Psalm 30 and verse 11. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Girded me. Clothed me with gladness. Amen? And so we're believers, and that's what God wants to do. He wants to give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Take a look today at your praise life. That's all. It's a personal thing. You know, I could say, okay, everybody say amen, and everybody say amen. Maybe everybody wouldn't say amen. But, you know, let's all say praise God together, and we could say that. But that doesn't mean anything if it's just out here. But what is our praise life like? Amen? Where we're praising God for all he's done for us. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In Sunday school, we're memorizing some scripture. We almost have the whole book of Isaiah memorized. Well, maybe a couple verses. But anyway, here's a verse. Verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen? If you learn that verse, you know four verses in the Bible, because it's repeated three times in the psalm. And God wants us to know that. He says that over and over and over. The garment of praise. Let me give you a picture of this. In Luke chapter 15, we have the prodigal son, and he takes his inheritance. He goes into a far country. He wastes it on riotous living. I mean, he's down in the hog pen. He has nothing to eat, just nothing. He's a mess. And all of a sudden, he got thinking straight. Amen? It just came to him, and he says, I'm going to go to my father. My father will be kind. I can be a hired servant. There's plenty of bread in my father's house. And so he starts that trip. He came to himself, and then he went to his father. So he's a great way off. His father runs out to meet him. It's a picture of God. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. You know the scriptures. And so what does he do? He says, this my son who was dead and is alive. He was lost and he's found. Man, we're going to have a party. But he says, put shoes on his feet, a ring on his finger, and give him the best robe. That meant something in that society, like Joseph's coat. give him the best stroke. Wait a minute. He wasted everything you worked for. And he's drug your name through the mud. And he's coming back. And he's hardly said anything. Because you remember the prayer. The father stopped him before he said, treat me as one of thy hired servants. And so his father forgave him and put the best robe on him. But here's two portions of scripture there. They said, let us eat and be merry. Remember that. And then they began to be merry. The best robe. God will do that for anybody that comes to him. Amen? He will do that, and you can make merry. All the guilt, all the shame, all the conflict is gone. You can be right with the Lord because it's a mercy seat. It's a throne of grace, and he does that all the time. In Zechariah chapter 3, there's a picture there of the nation of Israel, Joshua. And Joshua is there, and God says, take away his filthy garments. And he says, I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Take away the filthy garments. I will give you the garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness. We have Luke chapter 10. By the way, Joshua, it compared him with a brand being plucked from the fire. That's how we know they were filthy garments. In Luke chapter 10, blind Bartimaeus, he's by the side of the highway begging, and Jesus is coming by, and he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped. Amen. You're probably familiar with the story. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, that I might see. And so God gave him the sight back. But here's what the Bible says there. Casting away his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. His beggarly garments were gone. That spirit of heaviness was gone, and God gave him a garment of praise. Think of what that was like. He's begging. His life is a mess, and he can't see, and God gives him his sight. Would you be happy? I'd be happy. We had a fellow that came here and visited from California, Ross. Do you remember Ross? And Ross could not hear anything. And somebody, when he got here, gave him a hearing aid, set of hearing aids. And I remember he's sitting in our living room, Linda and I and his family, and he was sitting there. And he tried them. That was the first time. It was like, let's see if this works. He hadn't been able to hear anybody. Hearing aids are expensive. And he could not afford anything like that. And he hasn't heard anybody talk for a long time, but he could read their lips a little bit. And we put hearing aids in. They didn't look like earrings. But anyway, we put those in, and we said something to him, and he went, can you imagine? And he started to cry, and he was just so happy. I mean, it was a wonderful thing to see. Do you think blind Bartimaeus was happy? I mean, the spirit of heaviness is gone, right? The garment of praise is there. But there's a picture in the Bible, casting away his beggarly garments. He came to the Lord. He went on his way rejoicing. Luke chapter 10. You have the 10 lepers. They come to the Lord. And he heals them. And only one comes back to give him the glory. Amen. But think of a leper, and I've said this before, you can study this, you can read about it, it's described in the Bible. There's what's called a fretting leprosy, and we've used it to say, fret not. Because if you fret, if you worry all the time, it'll eat you up. And that's exactly what fretting leprosy does. It starts on the inside, and then it literally eats up, and then goes into the garments too. That's why the lepers would cover their face, and they'd say, you know, unclean, unclean. Nobody would get close to them. Who would want to be close to somebody that's so critical or hateful or whatever? Amen? But people don't walk around, I'm critical, you know. I got a bad attitude, you know. Leave me alone, right? People don't do that. But nonetheless, sometimes that is seen. He casts away his leper's garment. Because God's going to give him a new garment of praise. I love that story. The garment of praise for a spirit of of heaviness. Satan doesn't like to hear praise. He does not like to hear it because praise gives us victory over the devil. Numbers chapter 21, the nation of Israel, they're in the wilderness. They need some water. And so the Lord says to Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water. And that's exactly what he did. And here's what it says. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. They were thirsty, and God gave them water, and they were singing again. Amen. Now there's a picture here. We have in Isaiah 58:11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. That's why he's worthy of praise continually. It says, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spirit of water whose waters fail not. That's what God says will be like. Remember the woman at the well? Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. That's John chapter 4, okay? This is John chapter 7, verse 38. He that believeth on me, that's us, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, because we've tasted of the water of life. Amen? So that is now in us. Here it is. And we're pouring it out. Like David said, my cup runneth over. Amen? Our cups ought to run over. That doesn't mean we don't have trials and tribulations, but God is always worthy of praise. And if we can do that, that helps us through our trials and tribulations. Remember in James, you can't have bitter water and sweet water out of the same fountain. So when there's bitter water, just it's like a red flag. Amen? Time to praise God for his goodness for me. Turn your Bibles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Okay, that was the introduction. Here's the message. I remember when Lee lived around here and was attending our church, was a member of our church, I used to always say, well, that was my introduction. But he was always so nice. I think it was untrue, though. But he was always so nice. Yeah, keep on preaching, you know, he would say. I don't think he meant it. But that was my long introduction. Here's a short message. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah, and they are being invaded by the enemy. And verse 3, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Look with me, verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. You ever been there? I don't know what to do. The enemy is attacking, and I just don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And it goes on, and it says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. And then this Levite comes, verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 19. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and all the children of the Kohites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. They haven't fought the enemy yet, but they've heard from the prophet. They've heard the word of God, that God is going to fight for them. And here, the enemy's still out there. The battle has not been taken. At verse, where are we at? What did I say? 20. And they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. When they began to sing. Try it. You'll like it. Amen? You're down. You're worried. You're fretful. This is wrong. You're bitter. You're angry. Whatever it is. Sing. Sing praises to God. God will fight for us. Amen? There's so much to singing in the Bible. Sing when you're all by yourself. Sing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. I know, you know, you're in Myers. Praise to the Lord. You know, you're not doing that, but you can sing in your heart. Amen? Maybe. Paul and Silas sang at midnight before the doors were open, before God worked any miracle. They sang and it sustained them. What a blessing. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Sing about the joy of the Lord. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Right here. That's how we give a sacrifice of praise. And sometimes it's hard. It's a sacrifice to praise. Because you have to really sacrifice to do that. Jeremiah 33:11. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And all of them shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We praise him by ourselves. We praise him in our homes. We praise him in the house. That's why we sing. Amen? That's why we sing hymns, because it does something. It honors God, and it helps our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? It's got to be on the inside. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. He that hath a merry heart hath a continual feast. Look at the prodigal. Let's have a feast. I don't care what you've done. I just care now you're coming back to me. That's so great. Don't you keep coming back to the Lord? I mean, you know, how often should I forgive him, Lord? 7 times? No, 70 times 7, which means just in perpetuity, I think. Amen? Just keep coming back to the Lord. Psalm 150 and verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That is the last verse in the Psalms. And you know the Psalms. I love the Psalms. You read the Psalms, it's a lot of praise to the Lord. Here's the first verse. The first verse and the last verse and everything in between. Here's the first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to partake of it. I don't want to be involved in it. I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen? That's what we want to do. We don't want to be a part of something sinful. And then it goes on and says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. Remember the fruit? His fruit in his season. We are planted in the house of God, and we are rooted and grounded in the truth. And that truth has set us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we're free, and we have liberty, and the Spirit of God is producing fruit in our life. Amen? And it's all because, no, I'm not going to partake in that. I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to praise God. And it produces good fruit. Psalm 47, verse 6, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. I'm going to quote, I ran out of study time, so I thought I'd quote a few people. That always helps when I don't have enough time to study. But Thrasher wrote, Satan so hates the genuine praise of Christ that his fiery darts of discouragement are not effective against us when we respond in praise. Amen? You ever get a flat tire? Man, what a time to praise God. Amen? Maybe we could say, well, you know, praise you, Lord, because I could have had a flat tire when I was going faster, hit another car, could have been on a more important journey. Yeah, I mean, you could, but you can always praise God, can't you? Amen. Well, and here's the devil. He says, man, just trying to do something for God, and he gives you a flat tire, you know? And, well, I better not go down that road. Because I want to have positive here. M.R. DeHaan said this, if we would talk more about the Lord and praise him, we'd have less time to talk about ourselves. Isn't that good? Ironside, we would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. It is. Just praise God. We have a lot to praise God for. Jesus sent his disciples to get the colt. He's going to ride into Jerusalem. And he says, if you find the colt and somebody says, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord hath need of him. And so they did. And so they brought this colt back. And so Jesus is riding in. And the disciples and people are praising. They're throwing their coats down before him. And they're praising God. And the Bible says in Luke 19, the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God for all the mighty works that they had seen. The Pharisees told the Lord to rebuke the disciples. And this is what Jesus' response was. I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. The heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. I want to read something to you, and I'll be done. I just want to read a couple things. In Psalm 55 and verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. If you don't praise, the stones will cry out. The trees of the field will clap their hands. I got another one for you. Psalm 98. Bear with me. Psalm 98. I just want to read the psalm. Well, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So even if you can't carry a tune, amen, just sing a joyful noise. It says, sing unto the Lord with the harp, with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Amen? The trees are going to clap their hands. We look up into the stars, and he hath made all that. It declares his glory. The stones would cry out. Amen? So if we don't praise him, all creation will. But boy, to join in that song. Amen? What is it going to be like? Think of it. Think of all the believers from times past to however long. I mean, and we're all singing praise to our God. Our hearts are pure. There's no sin, no sickness, no sadness. It's just, man, what a blessing. Amen? Praise. Try it. It'll honor God. It will honor God. Don't share certain things. Now, you need somebody to pray for something. Obviously, you pray. That's a good thing to do. But don't discourage somebody. Amen. Wear that garment of praise. And that'll do more for somebody's spirit of heaviness than you can imagine. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, help us, help me. You're so worthy of my praise, my gratitude, my thanksgiving. I pray that you'd help us all to think more about this, to give you glory. Thank you for grace and mercy, and on we could go. And Lord, everybody here today has been here before. We've given invitations for salvation. If there is nothing in a heart here, I pray that you'd speak to that heart that they might come to you for salvation and receive a new heart. I pray if there are people here that are saved, but they've lost their song, they've lost their joy, I pray, Lord, that they would sing, they would muse, they would think, they would cast down thoughts that they need to cast down, and they would think of your goodness. Bless us today now, Lord. The music will play, and as it does, may we rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen.